Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. How are you? We got a special co-host today, Mr. Mike Nolan, a very good friend of mine. Say hello, Mike.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
Great.
This is your first time ever in a radio station, and I just threw you to the cats and wolves.
Pushing buttons. And
you're pushing all. Don't push the ejector seat button.
Okay. Is that this red one right here?
No, don't push that. That's we're unleashing the monkeys on that button.
Oh, my God.
So Mike is a very good friend of mine. He actually is a big, big reason why I am performing music and in a band. Mike showed me the music of Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix, Dave Matthews Band, the Allman Brothers. He showed me Eric Clapton. He showed me Stevie Ray Vaughan. All of my favorite musicians, this man basically showed me. And I owe so much to you, and I thought I would pay it forward by bringing you up and being a part of what this project is right now.
Thank you.
You having a good time so far?
Absolutely.
When your heart starts beating through your chest.
Yes, exactly. What the hell am I doing here?
It's fun, though, right? We like radio.
This is fun. This is a beautiful place, too.
The funny thing is I've always wanted to see you working in radio, because you just have the best taste in music. Your music collection has always been the most outrageously incredible music selection I've ever seen. I'd go to your house back in high school, and I would just sit there and think, oh, my God, he's got Toots and the Maytals. Oh, my God, he's got, you know, you showed me John Coltrane. You showed me Miles Davis. You showed me all this great jazz. And you had all of this at your disposal. And I was just thinking, man, this kid knows music. How did you, like, get to know so much great music?
Brings back a lot of memories right there. Actually,
you get a little choked up?
I have a lot of influences myself from, from childhood, from our parents. I think everyone picks up a little bit from there. Some things you set aside and say, eh. Mom, I'm not listening to that. My brother, my older brother Scott, has been very influential on every genre of music I can think of.
Just like teaching you the ropes as far as like jazz, funk, reggae.
Yep.
I remember he used to just like bring in all these new artists and records like from his friends, because he was in college at the time, I think at UCSB, and it would just be such a learning experience for me. I was just like learning how to listen at that point, learning what to listen to.
He'd come home and be like, you have to hear this.
And it was always the
John
funkiest.
Or
yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
it might have been.
A and it was always the funkiest. Yeah. Yeah. It was always the funkiest. It was always like super hip, super like just groovy. You know what I mean? I think I really learned about the groove from listening to all that music, you know?
Well, look at your music. I mean, the influences are vast.
Well, that's because of you, Mike. Huh. You know, it's like you showed me. We used to ditch class. Just so everybody knows, we used to ditch a lot of high school. And we would, listen to music and just talk about music. And that was one of the first music relationships I had where I was understanding that not all people listen to music in the same way. So you really helped direct my course and my path on a lot of levels. And now it's like, you know, I'm playing festivals and doing all this stuff. You've been able to see my band, and you've seen, like, what your influence on my life has been in such a positive way. So
That's amazing.
Thought I would bring you into the radio show and give you a taste of the radio life.
Well, I'm digging in. Hopefully I don't, like you said, press the ejector button or something like that.
Oh, I'll just slap you around if you do.
There you go.
So you got inspired. You watched Good Morning Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah,
last
I've
night,
been
right?
You know, as everyone, kind of trying to wrap my brain around this whole Robin Williams thing. So
yeah, that was pretty rough, wasn't it? It's
yeah.
like what a great actor and comedian, and like he gave so much to so many, and he was just hurting on the inside.
He was the best. And my wife had never seen Good Morning Vietnam, and we threw it on the other night, and I hadn't watched it in years.
I don't think I've watched it since it came out. No, honestly. Yeah, no, it's been like, I think it came out in like 86, something like that.
Yeah.
And I watched it, I remember I watched it on video right around that time, and I remember the movie, but there's, I need to watch it again because there's so many performances that he did in that movie that were just so ridiculous. They were so awesome.
No, they're amazing. It's all improv. It's just amazing.
I watched Good Will Hunting and Dead Poets Society. They were both showing on cable on the same day.
Oh, boy.
Like, cable was just showing, like, his movies, which is awesome. And, you know, like, there's this one scene in Good Will Hunting. I don't even know if you remember. I love it. He's sitting there, and he's talking to the bartender, and a friend of his walks into the bar. And he's like, hey, can you get us some sandwiches? We're going to get some beers, too. And he's like, just throw it on my tab. And he's like, you ever going to pay off your tab? And he pulls out a lottery ticket. He's like, I got the winning ticket right here. And the bartender's like, how much is the jackpot? And he's like, $12 million. And he's like, I don't think that's going to cover it. And he's, and Robin Williams quickly says, but it'll cover your sex change operation.
I don't remember that.
And I remember that. Like, I remember watching it in that moment and just laughing. And I was like, that's the beauty of Robin Williams. He would just... he would give you so many little pearls inside the bigger performance mm-hmm. that would just be memorable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you can keep on watching his performances and just go, I missed that joke the first time I saw that
movie. Pick something up every time. And it doesn't matter if it's a one of his comedies, a Mrs. Doubtfire, to one of his dramatic appearances. I mean,
he had such range. Yeah. We did a little tribute to him last time, but... I think I'll always reference Robin Williams as one of the comedic legends and greats.
Yeah, he will be missed.
Did you notice that somebody told me in Good Will Hunting, and I actually saw it this time around, but when he's talking about his wife farting, that the cameraman is laughing and he's shaking the camera. I never noticed that until after his death and somebody brought it to my attention. So when I watched it this time, I saw it and I was like, wow, that's insane that he just came up with stuff on the fly that would just make people...
yeah,
feel.
He had that gift.
He had that gift. He impacted people. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
So what are you listening to these days, Mike?
Actually, I've been kind of reintroducing myself to a lot of different things. So, you know, about 10 years ago, most of those albums that you were just talking about were stolen from me. So
yeah,
I kind of took a step back.
You should have called the police. Where were they? Where were they when this happened?
I don't know, but they weren't in the well, I won't say.
Well, maybe you should have kept a gun at home just so you could just take the guys out who would steal your library of music. I mean, that's just
Anyway,
I warned you that I'm crazy about soundboard effects on this show, you know.
Have at it. I don't know what I'm doing, so
be careful what you ask for.
Anyway,
but yeah. So tell me what you're listening to.
So I've been picking up stuff here and there. I've reintroducing myself, like bands like Nirvana that I haven't listened to in forever. Picked up some Rolling Stone albums that I haven't listened to in forever, and. You know, sometimes you need a musical re-up, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really funny that you mentioned Nirvana because I went back also and listened to those records. And isn't it weird how you kind of listen differently as you get older?
Absolutely.
Like, you listen for different things. Maybe it's just, like, the times. Like, the way I look at Nirvana now, whereas the way I was looking at them when they first came out, I was a fan right when they came out. And, you know, when Kurt Cobain died, I still remember where I was and how much of a shock it was. But... now when I listen to the records, especially maybe being a musician or maybe it's just like living a little bit more in life, you know, just mm-hmm. being a little bit more comfortable in my skin, you hear things in a different way.
Absolutely.
Songs impact you in a different way. They bring you back to that moment when you first heard them, you know?
What popped Nirvana into my head was, I don't know where I was reading or something, but it came to light that it's been 20 years since some of these albums were released. 20 years. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, my God.
I think Nevermind is actually doing its 20th anniversary, you know, reissue.
Yeah, this year was Nevermind, and then, you know, subsequently. But
that may make some bank for the labels. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. Repackage and throw it out. Yeah, so I've been listening. I mean, and then I've been some new things. You were talking about how you opened for Ray LaMontagne.
That was unbelievable.
I never really allowed myself to listen to his music, so I've been listening to a lot of that. And
what records? Are you going back to the beginning of his records?
I couldn't even tell you what the name was. I just saw it in the record store.
Trouble. For me, Trouble and I'd say Trouble and Till the Sun Turns Black. Those first two records, they just totally made me want to be a better writer. And he's
amazing.
He is amazing. And he's just got one of these voices like, you know, that just makes you stand still and just take notice.
Quiet yet powerful.
He said something really crazy to me when we played with him at Summerfest. He said, you know, I really don't want people just to take so much attention away from my voice, and I want them to pay attention to the songs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny when people just, like, you think that they just want to have that recognition for something that is just extraordinary, but sometimes they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things where it, you know, it lends itself to the gift, I guess. He's super humble. He's like one of those traveling minstrels that basically has the gift to share his talents, and he doesn't want the recognition necessarily on one aspect. He wants it to be on the whole, you know, which is really noble.
He seems like a really humble guy. He sat down and talked to you for quite some time.
We actually talked to him for over an hour. You know, the funny thing is my bass player, Matt, great guy, I was, like, just telling Ray how much, you know, he influenced me. And I said, you know, like, this is a huge dream come true for me. I said, you've been one of the biggest influences on me as a writer, as a performer, as an artist. And now I'm, you know, like, talking to you about music. It's pretty intense. He was holding my records. He asked me for some records, so I gave him some records. So there was a moment where I was, like, looking at him talking to me about music and life, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. And I said, you know, you inspired a lot of the songs that are on these records. Thank you so much. So he walks out of the room after about an hour of hanging with us, and my bass player, Matt, says, Jesus, Nicky, I thought you were going to plant one on him. So I was, like, a little embarrassed. I was like, oh, man, I couldn't help it because, you know, it's like meeting one of your heroes, you know? It's
well,
like,
when are you going to have the chance again?
Exactly. So I knew that that moment was hopefully going to be one of the biggest moments that will lead to many, you know, musical experiences with Ray. But if I only had one shot, I know that I made an impression, and we were able to talk music and life, and it was pretty unbelievable.
Fantastic.
But Ray LaMontagne is one of my favorite musicians out there.
Yeah, and he's really good. I need to pick up some more of his.
Yeah, damn it, Mike. What's going on? Jeez. So you're listening to a lot of old stuff, too, a lot of old Rolling Stones?
Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I've been picking up all sorts of stuff lately. I picked up a Metallica album.
Dude, that's so not you, and I love it.
I know. I
figured, what record did you pick up?
It's their second album. It escapes me right now.
That okay. That's Injustice for All? Was it Injustice for All?
No.
Not Enter Sandman?
No.
I'm putting you on the spot.
This is going to kill
What are you, a little chicken?
Sorry, I'm a little frazzled.
That's
I've never
okay.
done this before.
That's the beauty of it, though. You know, it's like I might as well have thrown you in. You wanted to come in and just be a visitor. But, you know, what's the point of that?
No, he sat me down in this chair and said, okay, push that button, put the volume up to that.
I'm having you run the show. I'm having you mix it and everything.
Yeah.
So to our listeners, if it's not to your listening perfection that you had hoped for, Michael Nolan, his number is 66. I'm just kidding. It looks like our guest for the evening is here. Elle Lewis, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Nikki?
I'm good. And say hello to Mike, too. He wants to feel a little warm welcome.
Hello, Mike.
Good evening.
What was that little accent? Good evening. Much to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start doing goofy voices now. Isn't that part of the game?
Top of the morning, tell you.
That's all right. We can do goofy voices.
I like that.
These little goofy voices. Awesome.
Oh, my God. Awesome. So, Elle, we met when I was teaching at LA Music Academy, and you were working there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you got into music. Tell us what your story is, how you fell in love with music.
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's you have to go way, way back to back.
Let's
in
do
the day
it.
Before back in the day was back in the day, I guess.
It was, which was Wednesday.
I just started singing all on my own. I used to come home from school. I was a little bit weird. I'd come home and put on records and practice, like literally practice everything from opera to Barbara Streisand to whatever was
how old were
happening.
You?
I think this started around the age of 7.
Wow.
And I remember giving lessons to some of the neighborhood kids, although I don't know what I think I knew, but, anyway, and then after that, I did a lot of musicals and stuff like that. That was fun, but, one day I was watching some show where there was music, and they had a close-up of somebody's hands playing guitar. I played flute before that, but they had this close-up, and I'm like,
fuck this flute. I want to play some guitar.
Yeah,
jeez.
Well, exactly. And I went, I can do that. So, so the rest is kind of history. And,
did you ever want to play guitar before you played flute? Because I knew. I remember going to my parents. I'm like, Pops, I want to play guitar. I want guitar lessons. And my dad was like, piano. That sounds great. How about a clarinet? I
was like, yeah, no, actually, this is cool. Mine is even a funnier story because apparently I wanted to play accordion.
Really?
Accordion was my first instrument.
Who starts with accordion?
Right?
That's natural.
Me. I started with accordion.
You're like, I don't want to have a lot of friends, so I'm going to start with the accordion.
No, I wanted to play na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Well, then
what do you do after that? And it's like,
No, nothing. Exactly. I put it down after that. I actually would like to pick it back up again, but that's just, you know, now you have the geeky background.
Well, if you do, then, I'll be standing out in the distance.
Well, and then I went to Ireland and played on the streets for a couple years, and that's where I met Glenn Hansard, actually. And I have to credit him with getting me to start writing songs.
That's amazing.
He was a genius, and he used to play on Grafton Street. We used to play on Grafton Street together. I remember playing him some tunes and stuff. And
that's amazing.
We knew who each other was and everything. Yeah, I know. And I mean, he was just a guy who did the Commitments at the time, and so he was a genius. And I remember watching him. I remember watching him doing the Pixies "Levitate Me," and I was like as far away from him as you are me right now. And he just stood there, like legs planted, looking up at the ceiling, going "Levitate Me!" Like it was the most awesome thing in the world.
I met him actually backstage at Bonnaroo. He was playing Bonnaroo, and it was he and his girlfriend, the two stars of once. Mm-hmm. And he was like the nicest guy. And I said, "Are you playing right now?" And he said, "I just played." He said, "I just played right now." And he was like, "When are you playing?" I'm like, "I'm playing tomorrow." And he's like, "Ah, shite." He's like, "We're leaving tonight." I was like, "Can you just say that again? That just sounds cool."
Yeah, shite.
Shite. Ah, shite. I was like, "Man, the Irish are cool."
Yeah, they are. That is definitely
so. He
was
the reason. He was like, "Okay, writing songs."
Certainly taught me how to write a good song.
That's
amazing. I think I'd written some crap before that, but after that, I really went, "Okay, I got to up my game here."
What took you to Ireland? You just wanted to.
I read Ulysses and just decided I wanted to know if they all thought like that or if that was just Joyce.
That's
wild. A little bit of both. So yeah, I had a return ticket. I was hitchhiking in a truck, and I rolled down the window and ripped up my return ticket, and that's how come.
Holy shit! Yeah. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
It's a good story, right?
Yeah. How long were you in Ireland for?
Almost 2 years.
So, do you think like the Irish Celtic influence kind of like influenced your writing, or was it kind of like there's a lot of sometimes I've noticed people in Europe or London or Ireland. It's like almost the sounds that are across the seas that you're like, oh my god, I want that. You know, it's kind of why you two kind of became what they were because they wanted to make. Like old Motown records,
exactly.
Or like old rock and roll, you know?
No, I really wasn't into the Celtic thing at all.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I won't say that it didn't influence me, because it probably did, but that wasn't really Lorena McKinnon and all that kind of Enya.
You're like, no, fuck all that shite.
Not so much. Yeah, fuck all that shite. Please, now. Mother Mary and Joseph.
So tell me how many records you got. You have a bunch, right?
I do. I have three, three, and then there's a, I guess if you count the Love EP, but there's three releases, and then there's a fourth that's coming up that I'm really excited about that I'm not sure what it's called yet, unfortunately, but it's something that I was been involved with a bunch of other artists, so we all wrote different tunes for it, and then I'm going to be recording another album. Do people do that anymore?
Yes,
another,
we still do it.
Another
we
bunch
have
of
to
songs.
Do it. I don't think I'll ever stop. I like to say that I would stop recording records. Mm-hmm. I even said like I think 6 months ago, I'm like I'm going to do one more studio record, and then I'm just going to do singles, like just release one song every now and then. But you know, it's like there's something about capturing a moment in your life where you document a whole statement, you know, 10 songs or 8 songs or 13 songs, whatever it is, so that you make one statement and you can look back on that part of your life later and just say, I made something in that moment to document, like a time capsule, you know? So fuck everybody else. <my records. laughs>
Well, I've always thought that albums should have a theme. I mean, the last album I did was a whole sort of concept. I'm not sure how clear it was, but this coming one, I want to meld it with visuals so that there's no difference in the experience between, you know, I mean, I guess you could just listen to it in your car, but the ideal thing is actually to watch it and listen to it at the same time, because
and you take one thing I love about you is like you take really a lot of time into gaining that experience for your listeners. You know, it's like Mike saw your records and you handmade all of your like CD covers.
Yeah,
and
it's a work of art.
It is. I mean, I
art
was like,
within art. You know,
I looked at that and I was like, God, I'm so lazy. crazy. I'm like, geez, I just don't have the patience to do that. But it's amazing that you just, you put so much detail into it. And Mike said it looked like a wedding invitation. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, that's
well,
a cool
I thought
compliment.
It should. It should be kind of like a present, you know? And I also didn't like all the waste that CD cases at the time. I mean, this is a few years ago, a couple years ago. So things that, I mean, it was really all just all digital now. But yeah, at the time I wanted it to be recyclable and I wanted it to, yeah, just to be kind of fun.
Well, let's play. Do you want to play something off the record or do you want to play something live first?
Why don't I play something live
first? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Get that out of the way.
Yeah. Get the early jitters. Oh, I like your guitar. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's actually...
Starry Nights.
I know. I love
that's
it.
Oh, amazing.
Starry Nights. Do you know that song?
Yeah, Page of course.
Blue,
do we know that
yeah,
song?
Okay, all right.
You, can I just... No, just let me tell you a crazy... You know how crazy it is that you have that guitar? Mike and I, we used to sing in like a jazz choir in high school, and one of the songs that we sung was Starry, Starry Night.
Oh, really? Now yeah. I wish I knew it.
Dude, that's crazy. So it's really weird that you're bringing
we were just
that
talking about this on the way here.
Synchronicity.
Wow.
Yep, exactly.
So they could not love you.
Yeah.
Their love was true.
Yeah. Great song.
Such a great song. It is a great song. Well, let's just see if I'm sort of relatively in tune. So is this how we're doing it here? We're just
just doing it live.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's the
okay.
way to do it. You should want me to bring this in a little closer?
I don't know. No. I think it's going to be fine. I was wondering about tilting it down. But just as well. This isn't the greatest sounding guitar, but I don't know why. I just love it. It's so comfortable.
That's cool. It makes it even cooler for us.
Yeah. I should give it a name.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Porch Light.
Porch Light. This is Al Lewis with Porch Light live, LA Talk Radio.
Now it's late, your back pocket's full of reasons why you can't stay. And that's okay, I've got a heart full of whispers my lips can't say. But if you stay, make a wish on some crazy constellation. It's here we are. Never mind all those complications. Just stay here tonight. We'll hold hands underneath the porch light. To a song if it feels alright. Forget about the starlight. Make a moment of yours and mine. And baby, just stay here tonight. We'll dance until the morning light. There's a chill. To hold you, and the last train went hours ago. If you stay, we'll make a wish on some crazy constellation. Cause here we are. Never mind. Stained glass doors. stay here tonight. We'll hold hands underneath the porch light. Move to a song that feels alright. Forget about the starlight. Make a moment that's yours and mine.
Studio audience loved it.
That was beautiful.
That was pretty funny. I wasn't expecting. Oh my God, I looked up and there's a huge crowd.
That's right. See, they hide. Right, they like to be very respectful of our artists, audience and our artists. I was like, audience.
It's a lot of little tiny people with big, huge hands.
And you know what? It's great because they just cut off right when you want them to. Like, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Okay, that's it. That's it. Very awesome song. Beautiful. I love the finger style that you're doing.
Yeah.
I love that little bridge you got with the because the A or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Going to the B.
Oh, I have to give a shout out to that was actually a co-write with Eric Sampson, who is also a very, very fine guitar player and songwriter. If anybody gets a chance, check him out.
That's very kind of you. Well, instead of plugging him, let's plug you right now. Where can our listeners find you? Like, what are your Twitter handles? What's your website? Give us all the lowdown.
Website is llewis.com, and that's E-L-L-E, like the magazine. I know it's a little
whatever.
Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And
Explorer.
Like the Explorer. Nice.
See that?
I'm going to use that from now on. That is genius.
Let's get to know who got.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then, yeah, iTunes, you can find it. I think, and on YouTube, I think it's El La La on YouTube, but you can just look up L. Lewis on YouTube, and you'll find it. Chasing Down the Sun, there's a, there's a video called Chasing Down the Sun. But, yeah, pretty much anywhere. Facebook, same thing, L. Lewis. It might be L. Lewis Music, but L. Lewis, you'll find me.
Awesome.
Great. I'm there. Come find me.
And are you playing around L.A.? Like, I know you've been playing the L.A. scene for a little bit.
Mm.
So tell us where you're playing next or any upcoming gigs or where you've been playing, just so our people
I actually, I've been playing at the Artisan, and I don't have anything up at the moment, but I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I've been in the studio a lot, and so I've just been not really playing.
Where's the Artisan? I don't know if I've been there.
It's downtown. Okay, yeah, it's, and there's, but there's a couple places that I frequent. So yeah, it'll be up there on the website.
Awesome.
I know
we'll have to check you out.
Before
Oh, no,
tonight,
that's okay. I mean, you know, like, I never expect people, like, you know, sometimes we don't have gigs on the books. People are like, when are you going to play again? I'm like, when I want to. You know, it's like, that's the joy of what I do. It's not on your terms. It's on my terms. So, you know.
Well, anyway, hit me up on Facebook, anybody, and I'll let you know when I'm going to play next.
Well, let's play something from your record right now.
Sure.
What song are we playing, Mike?
No Small Miracle. Is that working for you?
Yes.
That's not the button, Mike.
Excuse me.
That's one of those people with small hands.
Yeah,
you just killed one. You just killed a munchkin.
I have no
just
small
annoying
miracle.
Sometimes. You just want to punch it right in the face.
I'm used to it.
Sorry, I just got a visual on that. That's horrible. That is so mean.
That is so mean.
I'm
terrible.
Just munchkins.
Slap me around and call me Betty. I get carried away with these soundboards. I love it. It's one of the joys of what I do.
With the awooga horn and everything.
All right, so what are you playing?
No Small Miracle?
Mm-hmm.
No Small Miracle. Yeah. But what are we playing? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. See,
don't do that.
That one's on the house.
That's what we're playing. Name that tune.
Mike's so nervous. I love it. I love it. No Small Miracle by L. Lewis. Here it comes. Hold on, we're waiting. Is it playing on the internet?
Yeah.
It is. Are you sure?
Music signs up.
Music's on. It's pushed. You push play on the...
That's playing.
That's weird.
And, yeah. Well, from what I was told, everything is where it's supposed to be.
All right, you know what? I'm going to have L... Before we have you play that song, let's have you play something live real quick.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Now, this is something I've been wanting to play for a really long time.
And what's the name of this song?
It's called Calling You, and it's actually a cover. It's from a movie called Baghdad Cafe, which is kind of ages old, but it's a beautiful song. It's really a finger twister to play. So wish me luck, everybody.
Here comes... What's it called one more time?
It's called Calling You.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's by Javetta Steele. But anyway, it's, I'm going to do it.
Right, this is...
There's a road from Vase to nowhere, someplace better than where we've been. A hot dry wind blows right through me, the baby's crying and I can't see. Dry wind blows right through me, the baby's crying and I can't sleep. We both know a change is coming, coming closer, so we can't you hear me? I am calling you. I am calling you.
Very nice indeed. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, our studio audience, late to the party, but they still love it. We're going to play a song off your record because for some reason it wasn't playing before. But what's the name of the song? No Small Miracle, right?
Yeah, if it plays, it'll be No Small Miracle.
It'll be a big miracle. No, it'll play. Here it comes. No Small Miracle by L. Lewis.
I've put on my makeup to look my best for a breakup. Some so-called love's like a dandelion about to blow. Said no way would I get caught in a chick flick kind of plot. All my holidays are better on my own. The world is filled with tricks and marvels, radioactive particles. Sometimes it seems so damn hard to find someone who loves you for what you are. If wishes were airplanes,
You stumbled to your feet, shook your head in disbelief. You bet all you had on a blue, white, blonde bombshell dream. Now that you got all that you wanted, you checked your inside pocket to see if you still got the joke.
So we actually, we were talking while the song was playing, and we share a musician.
Whoop, there's something now going on.
Let's turn that
play
off.
Another song.
The computer's like, I want more, I want more. Mike, you just turned bright red right now.
I don't know what
awesome.
Happened there. That was...
That's okay. So we share a musician.
We do.
Chris Lovejoy,
yep,
a very good
indeed.
Friend of mine, and mm-hmm. yours, as
mm-hmm.
I can see.
That's right.
And he played percussion on your record, right?
He did. He rocked this shit out.
He's
all,
no, you, no, you can say
can
shit.
Can I say shit?
You can say shit,
fuck,
and
balls. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
He rocked the shit out of it. So that's for you, Chris. I just swore on air just for you.
See that, Chris? The things we do for your love joy. No, he's the shit. He's one of my favorite people on the planet, and an incredible musician, great drummer, mm-hmm. great percussionist.
So he was your percussionist as well, right?
Yep. When he's been my percussionist for, I think, 4 or 5 years, and then he just left to go on tour with Matt Nathanson, mm-hmm. so he's been touring the country and the world, I think, with Matt, so he'll be back soon, we hope.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's awesome. So tell us, you also told us that you're a bassist in a punk band?
Yeah, I am, very proudly.
Tell
yeah,
us what
my,
that's all
my
about.
My punk band is called Brezhnev's Medals. Brezhnev, like the, like letters to Brezhnev, like the, like the Russian president, Brezhnev. It's really hard to spell, so I'm going to spell it right now.
Please,
B-R-Z-H-E-V. B-R-E-Z-H-E-V.
You guys blowing shit up on the
scene? Yes, abso-fucking-lutely we are. Like, it's the hardest core, most awesome punk band
that's,
in the
how
world.
Did you meet them?
They're friends of mine. We decided to have one of our guitar player, who's ridiculously awesome, and our singer, who is going through divorce, decided they needed to get together and do some therapy, so they wrote some killer riffs, called me up and said, how would you like to play bass in a punk band? I said, it's a dream come true.
Oh, you're like,
so,
fuck yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Let's
beyond
do this
fuck
now.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then we got a super ridiculous drummer, and we got together, and we could not believe how good we were. It just, like, it was too good to be true.
What color is your bass?
My bass is a Dan Electro, and it's sort
fuck
of like
yeah.
a like it's like a shark dressed as a mermaid. It's sort of like a, like this blue
I knew you
color.
Had something colorful because your guitar has Starry Starry Night on the guitar.
Yeah.
There's got to be something cool. There's a story behind it. Okay.
So yeah, that's on Facebook, Brezhnev's Medals. And I have to say, again, dude, if you really want some therapy and you just want to rock out, that
wow.
is the shit. And I know that I'm in the band, but I'm very
no, that's what you want, though.
It.
You want to be excited about the things you're working on.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it's about. I mean, otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
so,
what it's all about. Exactly. So when are you guys playing again?
Well, we're probably going to be doing an English tour because our guitar player is now resides back in England where he's from. So I don't know whether you'll get to hear us here anytime soon. So you're going to have to listen in suspense. Yeah.
Oh my God, when are they going to play?
I'll tell you what. When we do, when he is here, we'll come in here and we'll play live.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We'll open with the band. We started things off on this network with the band, and I love having bands in because it's just like, oh my God, it's going to be a party right now. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Put them in this.
That's what it's about, you know?
Play it loud.
So also, you did a lot of touring in Europe. Let's talk about that because
I've toured there four times, and I absolutely love it, and I'm going back, and I will go back until I can't. I can't play guitar anymore.
You go with the whole band or you just go solo? How do you do it?
I have a band over there, my bows.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're all people that went to LA Music Academy College with me. And they're just ridiculous players, and they've been just my family over there. And so I go and play with those guys when I get there. And so we can play basically anywhere. A lot of them are from Austria, but I've got people in Sweden.
That's
amazing.
There's
people in
Tel Aviv. Did you just have a band in each city and just do it Chuck Berry style?
We usually go around to a bunch of things together, but sometimes somebody can't make it all the way, or sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, our friend Marco is in Croatia. He's a great drummer. So the drummer Thomas in Austria is like, well, why don't you play it? I'll come along for the party. In Tel Aviv,
awesome.
I mean, I've got another drummer and there's a bass player in Greece. So the first time we did it, Greece, he came along with me. Christos Kekris came along with me to play with Nat Deneev. And we played the Boomer Mallow Festival, which is rad. And so that's kind of how it goes. So that's four times running now, and there's going to be a fifth real soon.
Wow. That's amazing. And what other cities are you hitting? Like, what cities have you hit?
Oh, man. So
give us the whole load.
All right, the whole load. So it's been, Tel Aviv. We went to Istanbul, which is amazing.
sorry. I had to do something fun for that.
Somebody take that thing away from me.
That's what Eddie would say, too.
Yeah,
right, you said Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, Istanbul, Athens, and then, London, Brighton, Austria. We went to Vienna. I've played a bunch of times, which I love. I love Vienna. And
I lived in Graz, Austria.
Did you really? Graz is amazing.
I spent
a lot of time
in Austria.
We played there, and we played Linz, and we played Klagenfurt, and I think we played a couple other places there. And we've played Paris a few times. We have a really nice place that we love there.
That's amazing.
And some people that we like to play with, some bands. So
you play mostly
Croatia.
Clubs, theaters? What are you doing? Is it just mix and match?
It's mix and match.
Street
festivals,
it's been
all kinds
like
of stuff.
That.
Yeah. I would say the last tour was mostly clubs, but I'd really like to do some more festivals next time, too, because that was really, really fun.
Festivals are so much fun. They really are.
Yeah. I bet.
Mike was like, I don't know if I could actually sit through a music festival. I'm like, are you kidding me? You love music festivals.
I don't know if I'd survive.
That's what you said. I don't know if I could survive. I'm like, you would, but you would be
That's
hurting.
What the drugs are for, dude.
Oh, okay.
Fortitude.
Uh-oh. Now we're messing around here. A little too much craziness. I'm just kidding. No, music festivals are where it's at. And in Europe, because that's kind of where music really became its power. It's like music was really born. I mean, obviously it was born in like Africa or something before. But like composers, like the Baroque, classical period, Romantic period. All the greats are from there. So there's this huge appreciation of music, which I think is kind of lacking in the U.S. But I'm sure when you play there, people are just going crazy because A, you're American, and B, it's like, we love music.
I'm actually not American.
You're not American
at all?
No,
I'm Canadian. I'm from Montreal. Uh-huh.
I was born in Canada.
Were you?
I was born in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Oh, my God.
I'm
you're
a
Newfie.
I am.
Holy shit.
I know. We just opened new doors. I know all the jokes. Don't bring up animal. So you've ever toured in Canada?
I never have, actually. It's too big.
You're like,
and
fuck
there's not
those
enough
guys.
People. No, it's not. Well, I mean, I've played there a bunch, but I never toured it because it's just kind of a pain in the ass to tour and it's way too fucking cold.
It's big, too.
It's very big.
It's not like,
it's
you know, the U.S. is kind of like that. I've toured a lot all over this country and it's like, I find that, you know, if I go to Europe and I did a lot of like tours as a kid, you know, in choirs and stuff. It's like you'd go 2 hours, you're in a major city or a big city.
Mm-hmm.
You go another 2 hours, you're in another city. Everything's like right there. You're going country to country, and it's like everything's right there in the mix.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, it's like you play one show and then travel 6 hours to get to the next city.
And then you're going lucky.
East. Yeah, and if you're going east, you're like, oh, boy. There's like a lot of flat land.
1,300 miles to go.
Roads to nowhere.
Right.
You know? But, you know, that's what you do, and You know, one thing, it's kind of random. I saw something online today. Willie Nelson in a tour bus showing magic tricks. And he had this amazing magic trick. And I'm like, you know, that guy has been touring so long that I'm sure he was sitting on the bus thinking, okay, we're in Texas. I got a long way to go. What do I do?
Get I good love at something.
I smoke a lot of weed.
Oh, my gosh. He is the best. Blue skies smiling at me.
Nothing but blue
skies.
Yeah, he's the best. He is the best. So, are you touring with your punk band soon?
Yeah. We're still working out the dates, but it's imminent.
So you're doing your stuff. You're doing European tours. You're doing your punk band.
Yeah.
And you're making a record.
I'm making a record.
Lazy.
Yeah, I thought you were doing a lot.
I'm lazy. I'm just lazy. That's amazing.
No, you've got a radio show. You're doing a lot.
Isn't it fun? This is fun. This, mm-hmm. This is like a new passion of mine. It's like, I can't believe it. We started, 5 months on another network, and now we're here, and this is our new home, and this is our fourth week, and we're so happy that you stopped by.
Thank
you're gonna
you.
Have to come by
had
again.
So much fun.
You did. Well, you're not done yet. You're not out of the mix yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mike's just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I push? What do I do next? Tell me something.
Do you want me to say something?
Give me a signal. Give me a signal. No.
What?
So, once again, one more time, give us all your Twitter handles, your websites, all that
okay.
stuff.
Okay. So, Twitter is L Music, but I hate Twitter and I'm never on there. So, just X that one out right away. Facebook, L Lewis. YouTube, I think it's El La La, but you can find me at El Lewis. Just type that in somewhere. And the name of the album is We Turn Towards the Light. So,
tell me the story behind the name.
It's from one of the tunes, but basically the whole album was the idea behind it was a woman who is at a crossroads in her life, and she's deciding whether she's going to do one thing or another, and she sort of has this vision of which way her life could go each way, and in the end it's almost like she lives these both lives, and the songs are sort of in pairs like that. They sort of examine a couple different things that happen in her life from two different sides, and one side things turn out pretty well and one side things don't work out so well, but in the end they all come together at the end, and she realizes that that actually she could have gone either way and she would have wound up being who she was. And so the whole idea is, like a sunflower, you turn towards the light.
That's awesome. I love that. Very cool concept.
Nice.
I love it. You're thinking about being an artist in the way you present your records, in the way you title your songs. That's really what an artist is all about. You have a lot of art to give the world, and we're looking forward to it.
Even the CD packaging,
which can also be used as a wedding invitation, right?
Yes, and also there's a little
so
bit
magical.
Of bee paper in there. Oh, yes. It's very magical. That is one thing you can say about me, for sure. A lot of people...
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on our wonderful show, and you were amazing, as always, as I knew you would be.
Very well done.
And you were a great introduction for Mike. Mike was like
thank
enamored.
You for your patience.
You did good. You did good.
I screwed up a couple of computer
oh,
things.
Oh, no, right. It's not your fault, Mike. It's not
I
you,
get a
it's
pass
us.
For the first time,
it's,
right?
It's not you, it's us. Well, that's our edition of Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to sign off right now. Thank you, L. Lewis. L. Lewis, ELLELEWIS.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got it right.
You did.
Better have gotten it right. That's Wake Up Hollywood for this episode this week. We'll see you next week.